Tried many moves, tried getting loose, tried petting too, but I knew they wouldn't do, cause I'm a lamb, bye bye, bye bye with him, bye bye, bye bye, bye with him. You gotta find out where he's going, gotta pick me in the promised land, bye bye, bye bye with him.
Well, greetings everybody, Pastor Buddy joining you live tonight around the world. WWRB top scientists of the world today are beginning to talk about the reality of doomsday, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know where you know it or not, but the Bible says, as a man thinketh, so he is. So when mass consciousness, even mass consciousness, something is telling the psychic of man that the end is near. The way we live, sin abounds, love of many waxing cold. The new age, the new world government, evil, money. If you think Sodom and Gomorrah was a bad place, when you read about you folks that profess Christianity, and then you sit by and let it happen in your own city and you don't even raise your finger, you don't really know what's going on. It's basically sad. You know, I hate to say that, but it's sad in a way that it seems like it. We're helpless. We can't do anything about it. The truth is that we are in a time of trouble such as the world has never seen. A time of trouble. Now, this trouble is for the good people. The bad people are eating, drinking, and being merry. Now, let me remind you, if you think that the world is going to end before the Messiah comes back, I'm talking about end in a doomsday scenario. Starvation and famine and pestilence, all this is coming now. Don't get me wrong, it's coming. We've had it in the past, and we're really going to have it in the future. We're just at the days of the beginning of sorrow. I told you that 2012, to me, is a time trigger. It's an astrological sign indicated. The heavens declaring, we're going to talk about it in part two here tonight, of asteroid impact, your world and your future is at stake. Now, if the Bible says a time of trouble, now, what kind of trouble would you predict it's going to be? Well, again, these are the end times. People loving themselves. They don't love the Creator. They don't want to suffer for Him. They don't want to do anything for Him. It's their 401Ks, their bank accounts, their careers. They're not worried about the end time. Just to show you that the prophetic word of the Scriptures is correct. That they're not worried about the word coming to pass. They're eating, drinking, and being merry and concerned about what they can do. Not because of the end, they're frightened about the end. People are not frightened about the end. They say, oh, we've heard that baloney before. These religious kooks are just sitting around talking about the end of time, and you know that ain't going to happen. Science even mocks the prophets of Yahweh. You can give them basically scientific biblical knowledge. I mean, comparing scientific data with biblical knowledge. And they'll mock that. If you've got a positive, they've got a negative, or they've got two negatives. But the Bible says in the end of time, they will be eating and drinking and being merry. That means that the religious kooks carrying a sandwich board warning people in Times Square that the end is near. You've seen those in people making fun of it. And if you carried one today and had 10,000 reasons, they'd still call you a kook. I mean, they ignore the facts. And the Bible says that you better look in the heavens and look at these things. In the past, the earth has been hit with asteroids. So it's not out of reason that we could have a huge chunk of rock, debris. You know, I look at it sometimes like, you know, you can read in the Bible where the angels throw stones out of heaven and kill the enemy. Sometimes I think Yahweh gets pissed off and his angels need a little target practice, and they whiz a couple of asteroids real close by, you know, like a baseball pitcher. And Eden's on the other end of the universe, and he's got his asteroid glove on, and he catches it and tosses it back to the other angel, and this time he gets a little closer and closer and closer. Comets or other extraterrestrial objects measuring from a few hundred feet across to 5 or 6 miles. It could really wipe out local areas of life on Earth. Maybe whole continents could disappear. Now, that's not out of the question. Although, the debates are still going among scientists concerning the times in the past when these devastations occurred. Now, if they've occurred in the past, the Bible said nothing new under the sun, for what is to be has already been. So something else is coming. So what's coming is already been. We've had near misses. We've had the doomsday of Noah's day. It was a doomsday. It was a doomsday in Lot's day. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, a doomsday is the nitty-gritty issue here. We are the subject to a doomsday, meaning large loss of life, whether it's plant. I've got to where I don't trust the devil enough. I mean, I know what his mission is, kill, steal, and destroy. And yet we blame it on a number of things, like, well, we had a tsunami and it wiped out 800,000 people. 4 or 5 years ago, people didn't even blink an eye. Make good television. Good 6:30 p.m. news. We're so conditioned to devastation. Earthquakes can happen, and we'll watch that and say, oh, how awful. And we really like to look at it. We enjoy seeing it. Then we'll go right back to our sports channels. After that's over, we'll flip right back and go to eat, drinking, and Ben Murray. There is nothing left to our minds to convict us. Man, I can remember old-time fashion revivals. I can remember World War II. Mom and Dad take me to church. I'm just a young boy. They'd take me to church, and man, they would fill the altars up, and they'd pray. And the preachers would talk about the end of time, and we was in bad times in the war, and it could be it. This could be the last one. We were scared to death. I mean, people would cry and mourn. The tears would flow, and they would stay long after the service had dismissed, and they would pray. We would come together in the evening in our community and pray for peace in the world. Then when peace came, after World War II, we went right back to living it up. Whoop-a-dee-dee-doo. I mean, you talk about after the World War II, we really got sinful. This nation has turned into a rave review of pornography, filth, lewdness, homosexuality. This is the signs, and they're all written in the heavens. They're all. Destruction and prophecy? Yeah. The Bible's full of it. Recall the book of Revelations? Yeah. Talks about a burning lamp falling into the ocean. Now that could be, your ocean could be your mind, your flexible, watery mind, which is always seeking its own level. But today, there's nothing to get to that mind. It's been so conditioned and hardened, the Bible says that it's like a seared heart, like a seared piece of steak. You know, people that eat meat, they like it rare with the juices locked inside. So how do they do that? They get the pan real hot, or the grill, and they'll sear that in a fast burn, what they call a fast burn. Each side, they sear it so the juices are locked inside, and then when they heat the meat up, it sears, the meat has been seared, and the juices make the meat tender, and they get that blood rush. You're not supposed to eat that blood like that, but that's the way they get their blood rush. Blood is an addictive drug. We are addicted to war. Take each other's blood and spill it in the streets. Wars and rumors of wars written in the heavens. Signs. We are at the prophetic end of an age. Basically, astrologically, in 20 and 12, we have the end of an age. Not the end of the world now, the end of an age. I do believe that there's time left. And you say, oh boy, I tell you, the way things are getting, and sometimes I cannot believe I hear myself saying that we've got more time to add on to the times that we've already got when we are our worst in history, this nation in particular. After 235 years, we are in a quagmire. Financial ruination. People don't love anyone anymore. Everybody is, get your own. Get yours like I got mine. Go get you some government insurance. We've turned into a capitalistic state. I know poor men that came here with nothing into this country. And in 50 years, they become multimillionaires. By being thrifty, by being adventuresome, taking chances, being smart. Most people are penny wise and pound foolish, as the old saying goes. But a few people have become pound wise and penny foolish. They have traded, or put the money changers, as the Bible would describe it, they have prospered. Now, just when people got to prosper or 401ks, they'd worked hard, now some experts have figured out how to get their savings that they have worked the last 40 years for. In the most prosperous time, the last 40 years of the United States' existence, now we are crashed in hard times. Famine and the next thing, people are literally going to be hungry. The government is not going to feed you. They promise you are. They're not storing food for themselves. They're storing it for themselves. But yeah, they'll make you think so that they can squeeze more out of the grape. The United States and the people in the United States are like in a wine vat. We're being stomped. The lifeblood is being stomped out of us, literally. Our energies, our enthusiasm. Go to any city. I mean, they're hurting. Go to any, the best place to go to the city is go to the water department. You ever thought about that? Go and see where the people that are drinking the water, where they're getting it from. Look how filthy it is when it comes into the treatment center. Treatment center? Yeah. Well, how do they treat it, Pastor Buddy? They fill it with poison. Yeah, they have to poison the water, and then they treat it in millions of, particles of poison rated to where you're just getting minute parts and your body builds up an immunity, and in doing so, it kills all of the bacteria in the water. Otherwise, you die. There's not a drop of water on the earth, hardly, that you could drink without natural evaporation process or spring water. And most of that's filthy now because of the runoff. There's hardly a drop of clean water left on the planet. And the Bible talks about people starving for water. You can't drink ocean water. Especially in the Gulf. How would you like to have a good sip of that Louisiana Gulf water? Huh? Would you like to pour you a glass of that and take a look at it? I don't think so. Well, the Bible talks about that the bowels of the earth, the waters, will be like blood, contaminated. And now we see pictures of the ocean, the Gulf in particular, where this is past, we're past 3 months in this deal. And no end in sight. They're still pumping, gushing millions of gallons of oil into the ocean. And nobody's concerned. The only concern is the restaurant owners and the business owners around the Gulf that miss the people because now they can't come and swim in the tarball water. Tarball water. Now, boy, that's something for the people. Is something deliberate going on here that we're not catching or sensing that they're creating economic hard times for the very fact of getting a people to be subservient? Fear coming up on the people? Did you know that there's many examples written in the book of Jonah that Yahweh, for all his dealings with his people, that he can change his mind? If a people would pray and turn from their wicked ways, and did you know that I heard today, and I didn't hear it on the local news, I didn't hear it on the national news, it's not on the national news or the local news. But do you believe that the governor of Louisiana determined this coming Sunday a national prayer day for the people of Louisiana? That he would ask them to pray and bow their head come this Sunday and just pray and say, Yahweh, help us. Let us repent. Let us remember you. You can heal our land. This oil leak, you can heal it. Well, in Texas, the governor of Texas has done the same thing. He's declared that Texas needs a day of prayer. Now, that's admirable. That finally our leaders are now calling to our Creator. And he said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways. 2 Chronicles 7:14 is one of the strongest scriptures today that I could bring as a sign of the end times of apocalyptic destruction coming soon to a neighborhood near you. Now we have no certain dwelling place. Now you're not safe anywhere. And whether this is by design or not, and sometimes I think it is, sometimes I think that the governments get their jollies by causing you pain and agony and suffering and misery and death and carnage and destruction, because they live all the way to the bank when you're born. They get your birth certificate and they own it lock, stock, and barrel, charge you with it, insure you with it, sell it, trade it. I mean, you're a commodity. Hell, you're worth more dead than you are alive. When you're dead, they collect. Now are you getting the idea why that they enjoy, and you say, oh, Pastor Buddy, this is a Bible-toting nation, and we We've got people that represent us in Washington, D.C., and they're good men. They go to church. Even the president goes. Did you know that Yahweh was pleased with the action of the Ninevites that looked up and fasted and prayed in sackcloth? I mean, man, that's humble. Now, you can't tell me that them people, they took, Jonah must have been Jonah had to be a powerful prophet. I mean, he just preached a 3-day meeting. And by the time he got through preaching, everybody in Nineveh, including the animals, obeyed what Jonah asked them to do. Wouldn't that be wonderful if a nation would humble himself in 3 days and turn from their wicked ways? Do you believe that we would see a turnaround here in America? I think so. But we're not going to see that, folks. You know why? In the last days, people will be proud, boisterous, blasphemous. Jeremiah said in 18 and 10, if a nation do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good therewith. I said, I would benefit them. And people in the time of Jeremiah experienced that very thing. Yahweh promised peace through all of Josiah's reign. But when Josiah rebelled and went to war, Yahweh cut short Josiah's reign in 2 Chronicles 34:27. And brought about the great evils instead of the blessings that he had promised. And both of them had been written by Jeremiah, and they choose which one they wanted. Well, if my people, which are called my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, it's written in the heavens. It's declared. You can see the blessing. But astrologically, we see the imprint of evil up there. And he said, I set before you this day good or evil, or good and evil, and choose this day which one you're going to. You know, used to a man could do business, and a handshake would seal the deal. My dad used to buy cattle, and I've seen him buy as up to as much as $50,000 worth of cattle. Today you would need two Rhodes Scholars, lawyers, to be paid out of that. My dad would shake hands with his neighbor, the people he bought the cattle from. It was just a handshake. And he would promise to pay him on a certain day, and my dad kept his word. That day, and that's not been long ago, that's been 50 years ago, or longer. Well, let's say 60 years ago. A man's word was his bond. Today it takes five lawyers and four of them lies and cheats the other one, or the other one cheat the other four and steal what they would have supposed to have gotten, take what you had, and run with it. You can't trust nobody today. You got to have it sealed, and then you got to go to court to get your money, rent property. I don't think so. Man, people are so unholy and unthankful. They'll promise you to pay you and you know, they'll get in and they'll trash your apartment or your rental complex. They'll trash it out, destroy it, and expect you to leave them in there. And when you go to evict them, you got to have five lawyers, three judges, and buy most of them and have them in your pocket before they'll do anything for you. It's awful. And you talk about capitalism, and it's dead in the street. It died. Did you know that Yahweh is waiting to see what this nation will do under hard times? He's got a plan. He can change his mind. He said, the evil I intended to do, I won't do that. I mean, he can warn, and that's what he did with Jonah. He told Johnny, he said, I'm fixing to end this thing here. When Jonah, buddy, I mean, he was convicted. He said, it's over, guys. Yahweh's bringing this place down. Well, when he had so much charisma, so much fire in his message, he went through, like I say, 3 days' journey through the city, and by the time he got through, everybody, including the cattle, bowed their knee. And then Yahweh changed his mind. And then Jonah got pissed off. He said, well, you made me look like an idiot. You know, see, the devil was so crafty. Here Jonah was a hero. He turned the whole city and saved them. And instead of feeling jubilant and thankful and praising Yahweh, he got, the devil said, see there now, boy, you look what you've done. Man, you preached that powerful message. And you think that that Yahweh really honored your word. Look, he made you look like a fool. Here you are looking like an absolute idiot. Nothing you said happened. And instead of accenting and thinking on the positive, he got a negative, and these are some of the signs that the devil can work with you. Done a great job for Yahweh, and then Yahweh had to teach him a humility lesson. Busy learning. Maybe we could, one day we could ever learn and never able to understand what Yahweh's wanting us to do as a people. If my people, it's written in the heavens, ladies and gentlemen, that we are fixing to have a generation, an age, with a fractured earth under our feet, when we'll have to pray for our food and our water. Oh my! When I fasted 40 days, and I'd get my water for that day, and it would be in a pint jar, mason jar. And I look at that water, and I knew it was all I was going to have for that day. And oh, how I thank Yahweh for it. I just ask Him to energize it and give me strength. How appreciative I was. And now today, everybody's drinking bottled water today. You ever notice everybody? They buy water. There's billions of water bottles to pollute the planet that we drink. People should drink out of glass anyway. But you know, we don't do that. We buy those disposable throwaways, and then they lay for the next 300 years in a landfill somewhere. And they don't deteriorate. They don't go back to nature. They're anti-nature. And so, by drinking what we describe as clean water, and it's nothing but bottled water out of the city system. Most of it is just it's regulated water. All they want you to do is kill the bacterial ingredients. They don't give a damn how much you pay for it. And these bottle companies, Coca-Cola's in the water bit. Hell, they can make more off water. People will pay more for water than they will for pop. I stopped the other day and bought a bottle of water. I very seldom ever do that, but I was back in the mountains, and I couldn't find a spring. I usually try to stop at a spring. Couldn't find a spring, and I stopped in this bottle of water. I think it's just about 8 or 10 ounce bottle. $1.49. And I guarantee you, it probably didn't cost them 6 cents to bottle it. $1.49, and us idiots are out here polluting the planet with plastic bottles by the billions that we put back in landfills. I thought about that. How silly. You know, back when I used to fast was a young boy, preaching Jesus' name baptism, man, I was on fire. One God. Hallelujah. Fast for 40 days, drinking water out of a mason jar. Oh, boy. Yeah, that was a day when we took things serious. It was back in the 60s. Man, we was praying and fasting, seeking Yahweh, had power. Women would come into the services and shout their bobby pins out of their hair, and their hair would fall out and drag to the ground. Praise Yahweh. Oh, what a time. Old women would get lamps and turn them up and take the globes off of them and set them under their chin. You could see their chin just as black, sun all over their face, fire going up through their hair, not even singeing. I've seen it, ladies and gentlemen. I've seen that. I've seen a lot of things. And today, the only thing you can see is sin. Proud people. You say, well, we had a good service over here at this church today. I just like to see some good services like I've been in. But now that I know more truth than I've ever known, I see less results. You know why? Because the truth is a hard saying. People will not bow to the truth. They'll shout to a lie. But they will. The family unit's falling apart. We're having sin on every hand. You watch in the evening. I drive sometimes through the country. And you can pass home after home after home after home. And everybody and their grandmother's watching the dumb tube. The TV. They're glued to the TV. And you'll see these evil-minded entertainment pleasure directors as they direct you. They know that. They know your carnal nature. How to get you involved and the mystery and the intrigue and things of this nature. And we'll sit for 4 or 5 hours every night, deadpanned, to the tube. Watch the filth and the things that the devil can think up. Man, I'm telling you, the television would be a wonderful tool if somebody get on there and preach Yahweh and preach him like trees upon it. I'm talking about no compromise. I'm talking about bringing the truth from the bottom of the heart where it cuts and it brings a wrinkling on the face. Man, I used to hear preachers preaching. I'm telling you, scared me to death. I'd run and fall in the altar and pray and seek the Holy Ghost all night long, all day long. Day after day, revivals, praying, fasting. The Bible said, in the last days, the nation will forget him. People will become proud, uncircumcised, unthankful, and unholy. That's the sign. The Romans were masters of extreme pleasure seeker. Their nation lasted almost 800 years. They entertained themselves with gladiators, which is just like the rock stars of today. They gambled on who would live or die. They bet on a man's soul like it was nothing more than a $5 bet. They enjoyed the sight of Christians, those who were torn by lions. How many minutes they would survive the hungry lions? They thrilled themselves with plays, entertainment, erotica, bathhouses, indoor pools, drunken parties, held in honor their false gods, Zeus. They were drunk on the wine of sensual pleasure. America is hooked on superstar athletes getting $100 billion contracts. We just had one yesterday. He could have signed a $1 billion contract in New York City, but he opted for a little less money to play with two more superstars. So we got three superstars, and it was the highest-rated TV program just to tune in to see which team would get his services. Now that is the sensual pleasure of being drunk on people loving themselves. These are the type of heroes. We used to have heroes in my day, Roy Rogers and Gene Autry. Lash LaRue, Hopalong Cassidy, Smoking Six Gun, finding the bad man in the Badlands, bringing him to justice, convicting them, putting them away. Now, it's the reverse. It's the bad man getting away, doing in the good people. Pain. The Roman Empire. Today we are caught up with advertising. Some of these superstars make more money off a pack of cigarettes that they prefer, or to see which beer they're going to drink, or which loaf of bread they buy. And if they're popular, they proudly show off their tattoos. This is a tattoo generation, marking their body, unholy, unthankful. Don't respect their parents. I don't have a tattoo on my body. If you've got one, you ought to be ashamed of it, and you probably are. If you're a good man, you can be a good man and have a tattoo. But I'm going to tell you, you can't be a good man and have a tattoo that you've not repented of, because you broke Yahweh's laws. You can get forgiveness. You can't take it off. But Yahweh can take the memory. If you're convicted that you've done wrong and you're sincere, you can repent, and it's just like you ain't got one. But these people today wouldn't repent if you preached the gospel and it hurled up the devil and put a kink in his back. They're not going to repent. They will not repent. They will not turn to Yahweh. They will not get baptized. Today, Americans are so expanded in the things that they are into, which is pleasure seeking. They want a bigger boat, a bigger car, bigger home, bigger, winning souls for Yahweh, preaching the truth. Oh, that's old fashioned. We've heard that. We don't believe in that. We'd rather go to a disco and dance our night away. Smoke a joint. You go smoke your joint. You have your big time. You love your pleasure. You fail to repent. You keep on sinning. And the day will come upon you that I'm talking about, to when the heavens get dark and the sun refuses to shine, and your generators don't kick in at the local co-op to supply your power, and your television goes off, and your gods die in your living room, and you're up all night walking the floor because you're all pumped up on caffeine, Spirulina or whatever you're on, and you can't sleep because your heroes are not playing that ball game, or your movie star is not performing that pleasure-seeking, lust-filled, erotic episode that you were dreaming about. Man, it's awful. Americans want their cake and eat it too. There's hard times coming for America. There's going to be starvation. People are going to be literally eating one another before this is over with, and you can bank on it. My people ain't going to pray. They're not going to seek my face. They're not going to turn from their wicked ways, but they should. We pipe to you. You ain't going to dance. The average consumer, ladies and gentlemen, the Pentagon part supplier, 998,798 dollars to ship. Now listen to this. 2 19-cent washers to a United States Army base charged you $998,798 dollars for 2 washers. When a Korean War veteran that has won a Purple Heart has to buy his own heart at a military surplus store because the Navy informed him that the metal was out of stock. But they can charge $998,000 for two 19-cent washers. Family, education, pleasure-seeking, the economy, the government, the military, your God, listen to us. Pay more taxes. Bring your tithes and offerings to the U.S. government. Don't give them to Yahweh. Forget Yahweh. Tell Yahweh he's dead. There is no such thing as a Yahweh. Forget him. Turn to us. We're your Savior. You pleasure-seeking, brainwashed, poor excuse, proud, boasterous blasphemer. You will never learn the truth. You resist it just like your fathers did. You know why you ain't going to turn to the truth? Because Satan, the devil, has bound you under a demonic spell, and you can't get away. You'd like to fast. You'd like to plan a date next week to fast, but you know, there's something that the devil's already planned to cause you pleasure. You see, it hurts to fast. It hurts to push your plate back. It hurts to pray. It hurts to get into a revival when you just lay there and mourn and wail. I've sat all night just rock back and forth. Yahweh, 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 help me, Yahweh. Give me strength, Yahweh. Help me, Yahweh. Those days of seeking him are over. My people will not pray. They will not humble themselves. They will not turn from their wicked ways. It is written in the heavens, it's time for the judgment to come upon them unaware. Where are you tonight? Where do you stand? Are you ready? When the sun turns to sackcloth, when the moon will not shine, when you look in the heavens for just a star, and they fail to show their light. When the hydro dams go down through an impact of an asteroid, you ain't got any electricity to watch your dumb tube. What are you gonna do when the tube goes dark? What are you going to do when McDonald's fails to turn the arches on and you won't see no bright lights of the city? When you have to feel like they did in Egypt, when the darkness was so great, it was so dark and so black that they could feel the darkness. Who are you going to turn to then? Have you got a light that you can turn on inside? And say, Yahweh, here I am. Hold me in the palm of your hand. Save me for that's coming up on the earth to try all that dwell. Yahweh, you said you would not leave me in the sixth or forsake me in the seventh. Here I am. You were hungry and I visited you. You were thirsty and I gave you a drink. I brought the gospel to that lost soul that was there on their sick bed. I traveled that extra mile for that sister that needed to hear or needed to repent or needed to be baptized. I went the extra mile away, Yahweh, for that brother that held up his hand over in Macedonia and said, come over here and help me. I need light. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a dark, foreboding world out there of sin and pleasure seekers, as it was in the days of Noah, and it's all written in the heavens. You shall see signs and great distress among the nations, wars and rumors of wars. You'll see famines and pestilence. man hating each other. Political advantage. We've got people today that's taken over this country that you would have never imagined 100 years ago would even have a voice in this country. Things have changed and you can't do nothing about it. It's written in the stars. It is written that there shall become a time when trouble will prevail over the earth. And the earth will be divided. There will be destruction, doomsday, a great tribulation such as the world has never seen. There shall be famine and pestilence and hunger and starvation on a scale. You say, well, I got to get to work. I ain't got time. I'd like to watch it on TV. Are they going to show it tonight? No, it's not going to be on the local news. Why? We lost our power grid. You mean to tell me that there ain't going to be no baseball game on tonight? No football game? Boy, not God. No, it's all over. You pleasure seekers will mourn. And you'll cry out. But he that sits in the heavens shall laugh at your calamity, and he will certainly mock when your fear comes. I've got to get off here. I've preached myself out of time. My, how I've loved you tonight, and I've enjoyed being with you. Yahweh is a great one. He's coming soon for a people that's kept the faith and a few sheep that ain't denied his name. I love you tonight. You can always call me at area code 423-626-2172. You can write me, Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 3782. That's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. I'll see you, sheep, on down the road. Better keep your wool on, because the wolf is out tonight. Don't let it get you, little sheep. Flee the very appearance of evil. I'll see you tomorrow night on WWRB 3.185 on the early show, 7 Central, 8 Eastern Standard Time. Yahweh bless you. Oh, yeah. Praise Yahweh. Let's be ready. He's coming after a people that's kept the faith and hasn't denied his name. Are you ready? Well, I hope and trust that you are. Because Yahweh's coming for you. He's also going to destroy them with the brightness of his coming. Aren't you glad? I know I am. Praise Yahweh. Yahweh bless you. And Yahweh keep you. And Yahweh bless the servant. Oh, yeah, we're lambs. Praise Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. Ladies and gentlemen, I've enjoyed being with you tonight. We've got a couple of minutes to remind you. I'm sponsored by Dr. Gary here. 1-800, or 1-877, that'll be. And that would be 289-7439. Also, Brother Paul up in the great state of Michigan. That'd be 1-800-253-2748. Are you ready to ride tonight? Let's reach out and touch him. He's coming by. He'd like to see you tonight and meet you on the level of your knees or your claws and trees. Stand up for Yahweh. He laid down his life for you. And he'll come back if you remain faithful, if you keep the faith, and you don't deny his name. I love you tonight. Are you ready? He's coming.
He's calling out.
He's calling out for you and me. He's wanting you to ride this mountain up. Let's join hands. Send me your tithes and offerings. I need your help. I'm just a poor, struggling country boy. Standing up for Yahweh. I've been working for Him for over 55 years. I've never went back on Him. I've tried to remain faithful. I've got down. I've been knocked out of the frame. I've been bloodied and battered and left for dead, spiritually speaking. But I'd always get up, shake off the deception of the devil, and reach up for another limb. When the devil cuts one off, reach up and grab another, and let's keep climbing for Yahweh. That's right. I love you. I'll see you tomorrow night.
You're with me.